When I say the word cold calling, what does that do to your psyche? What's the first word that comes to mind when I say the word cold calling? Do you shiver in fear? Is it the scariest word I ever said? Do you have shivers going down your spine? Or is it something that's like, oh yeah, that makes me money? Like what do you think when you hear the word cold calling? For most beginners, when it comes to any type of business, let's just call real estate the thing, you know, they think of cold calling and they think of it as the scariest, most crazy thing ever that only people that watch Wolf of Wall Street do. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared, right? And it really honestly freaks you out. I completely get it. You know, as somebody that's taught hundreds of thousands of people to get their first $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 in wholesaling real estate, the one that has hundreds of thousands of people in my free wholesaling course, I've taught a lot of people how to cold call. And a lot of people always come up to me and they'll say, Zach, how do you make cold calling so easy? Or what's the secret to it? And all these things. And honestly, the fear of cold calling, I do look at it as not a disease, right? But like, it's kind of a little thing, you know, not terrible. But honestly, there is a small little cure to getting over the fear of cold calling. And, you know, there's a couple things I can always do to anyone. There's no magic cure crazy to it. But like in under an hour, which I'm going to do today with you, I'm just going to give you basically the blueprint to getting over your fear of cold calling. And honestly, without even doing any cold calls at all, like that's kind of the cool part about it. Now, obviously, the more calls you do, always better, right? But I just feel like so many wholesalers, they have this thing in their head that says, oh, I'm scared of cold call. I'm never going to cold call. And I honestly didn't ever want to make this video today. I'm just being completely honest. Like it's in freewholesaling.com. Like I just tell everyone to cold call more, but like I'm getting so many new wholesalers coming in and they all come up to me like, Zach, how do I get rich in a week? Or how do I get my first deal in a week? I'm like, cold call. And then they come back to me and they're like, Zach, I cold called and I haven't gotten successful. I'm like, how many calls do you make? And they're like, I made six. I'm like, what? Why aren't you making more than six? Well, I don't think I sounded good, so I didn't want to do any more. And I'm like, come on. Like, this is stupid. Guys, if you want to eliminate your fear of cold calling, this is going to be the video for you. This is going to be everything you need to know to become a successful wholesaler when it comes to cold calling. Cold calling is going to be the best, fastest way to get your first wholesaling deal. You can gain your skills talking to sellers. You can get extremely confident. And the most important part, if you're ever the person that is mentally in your head like, oh, my competition, I can't beat them up. If you get really good at cold calling, you'll be better than 90% of your competition out here because you're doing what they're not willing to do. There's a reason why every single person watching this video is not completely shredded with six-pack abs and all these things because you probably weren't willing to do the work that the people that do it are. And that's the honest truth. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it's not going to like give you a better quality of life having six-pack abs. But for wholesaling, if you get really good at cold calling, your quality of life financially is going to be a lot better. And so what I'm going to do right now, step by step, cure your fear of cold calling. This isn't going to be like a intervention, like you need to be a man and go out here and cold call. Rah. I'm just going to tell you practical stuff that actually works. The thing that actually gets people in the chair to start calling more. Okay? Just no fluff, no excuses, none of that stuff. So before I break it down, before I cure your fear of cold calling, do me a favor. Make sure you go out here and smash that like button. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help the YouTube channel here so I can give more free wholesaling content. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss a notification when I go live. I'm live on the Zach and YouTube channel. And always comment below your questions. I know I can't answer every single question, but the more questions I have, the more chances I can go answer them. Or somebody in the comments who actually, you know, maybe eliminated their fear of cold calling has gone out here and done it. So without further ado, let's break it down and let's get into this. So the first thing we have to understand is we just have to stop being scared of cold call. The one thing about cold calling is the word cold call has such a bad connotation. It has such a bad thought with most people. If I change the word to cold calling to, you know, phone tagging or conversation starting, people, they're not as scared of it. It's kind of a weird part, but it's all in your head. And I'm not saying you have some mental disease or you're mentally screwed up. But I'm saying is you have mentally put a connotation to something, right? And so they've shown studies if they tell people that are severely scared of getting like a flu shot or like any type of, you know, shot, like just the pain of it. If you just distract them, that's what they do to babies, and they distract them, give them the flu shot. Like, it's like, oh, that wasn't bad, because it's the fear that it's going to happen that is way worse. It's the fear of it. So much dang worse. If you guys ever watched the show, How I Met Your Mother, this is a great one. I love that show. They had a thing where basically Barney was, he got in trouble or something, and he's going to get slapped by somebody else, by Marshall. And basically the slap wasn't the scary part. It was knowing at any moment he can slap you. And the psychological torture of somebody just raising their hand and just scratching their head and be like, oh, he's going to slap. Oh, it's the psychological torture every day knowing it's going to come. That's the scary part, right? It's like, you know, somebody's going to go punch you, but you never know when the clown's going to punch you. He's going to punch you, but whenever he decides he wants to punch you, right? And it's the scary part, thinking about it every single day and being consumed by it. And that's the problem with cold calling. A lot of people think about it, they can consume it about the fear of actually doing it. But once they do it, it's not that bad. You guys are overthinking it. I promise you guys. And most importantly, you're overcomplicating it. If I just switch the name cold calling to outreach calls to sellers, it's actually like, think about it. You get less nervous. And I just want you to do that little exercise for a second. Think about it. Change the name to cold calling to calling cold, or like just change it to a word. You can call it outreaching out to sellers, or, you know, having a conversation with someone that might want to sell their property, or asking people questions. Literally just change cold calling to asking people questions. And you're like, asking people questions? I'm not scared to do that. Like, the fear goes down like by 30%. And that's just step one in eliminating the fear of cold calling. Second is you're just overthinking and overcomplicating it. Why did I say asking questions? Did I just come up? I did not come up with that. That is something that I've told people a lot, because when you're cold calling, a lot of people overcomplicate it. They think they have to be Wolf of Wall Street. They do the call and they do the hard sell right there. You're not doing a hard sell when you initially do a cold call. That is not what wholesaling real estate's about. That is not how you actually go out here and eliminate the fear of it. That's not actually how you go out here and become successful, right? You're not the type of guy or gal out here that will go out here and close sellers off the bat. You just ask questions. Seriously. Like, hey, are you the owner of the property and are you looking to sell it? You get some information, then you get off the phone. You don't close somebody. Nobody makes offers. Zillow for sale by owners, yes, you can do that there because they're already sort of warmish. And that's what I do when I do lives, because just it's a lot faster pace. I get more offers out there and it's more negotiating. But that's not what the majority of cold calling with government lists are. And I've done these calls. Like, that's not what it is. You are overcomplicating this process. It's not sexy, right? Someone says, I want to sell the property, get some information. You say, hey, let me talk to my partner. What's a good time for me to give you a call back? That's it. Like, pretty simple. And so when you're calling, you're just asking questions. You're not selling anything. And I think that's the big fear I think a lot of people have. It's a misconception. So it comes from a big part is the unknown. What is the person going to say? Are they going to say something mean? Are they going to say something about my mom? Are they going to say I'm a poopy head? Or are they going to say this? Or are they going to say something scary? Come on. I'm telling you guys, you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Somebody is going to go out here and say something mean to you. That is an uncomfortable truth in cold calling. How you deal with that is the biggest change I think you can have. And so one example you have to have in life is, if anyone watching this has ever grew up in the public school system, let's say you go to a regular middle school. Okay. I think middle schools are way worse than high schools, like with bullies and people being mean, because we're all like tweens. And the average middle school, there's 2,000 people in it. Do you think out of 2,000 like tween teenagers, do you think one of them are going to be really mean? One out of 2,000, be honest with me. Of course, one of them is going to be really mean, and they're going to say something mean about you, because they feel bad about that. That's how bullies are, right? They feel something insecure about themselves and they take it out on you. That's usually how it happens. So you got to understand that. Like, one out of 2,000 cold calls, someone's going to say something mean to you. It's going to be that high school bully, that middle school bully. What's the worst that somebody, you're overcomplicating this and you're overthinking this. So let's go back to the overthinking part. When somebody calls you and they say something mean to you, number one, can they get you arrested? No, because what you're doing is completely legal. Okay. Can they get you fines or cost you a bunch of money? No, because you're calling TCPA compliant, like Zachin teaches you. So that's all legal. And there's no fear of this. What can they do? They can only do one thing. And just being honest, they can do one to two things. They can either say they want to sell their property and hey, you actually make money? That's good. Or they can lie to you. That's it. They either want to sell the property or they can lie to you. That's pretty much it. I mean, they could say no, I guess, but that's saying they can say the truth or lie to you. They say the truth, they want to sell or they don't want to sell. So they say the truth, they want to sell the property, or they're going to lie to you. And what's the lie? Number one, you're a a-hole. You're a this word. You're a that word. You're a meanie poo. You're a poo-poo head. I'm saying nice words. Use the imagination. But they're going to say you're this. And here's the truth about anything anyone's ever said about me. As somebody that has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers, one out of them is going to say something mean about me. And some of them are pretty good jokes. I'll just be completely honest with you. There's some really good ones out here, you know. I'm not going to break down some of those funny jokes, but there's some good ones, internet jabs at me that I honestly, they're pretty good. But one thing you got to understand is as long as somebody says something to you, and if you believe what they say is true, then it automatically is a truth in what you think about. But if somebody says that I'm a broke wholesaling guru, I just laugh at that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Compared to the other broke wholesaling gurus, I literally just came back from the bank from another deal. I was like, I know in my heart that I am a broke wholesaling guru. I make a very good amount of money every single month off my passive income. I don't really care at this point, right? And I know because it's a bully, they're reflecting their insecurities of being broke back at me. Why do you think gurus always make shots at me? Because they're broke, insecure, and they're bad. They're sad. They're losing sales because I teach wholesaling for free, and they bring it out to me and they try to diss me and stuff, right? That's how it works, okay? And so what you have to understand is if somebody says something mean to you, know it's a lie. That's it. One really cool thing I always do, and this is always a litmus test of when somebody says something mean to me, I always say back, and you guys, you can use this form for yourself because you're overthinking this if someone says something mean to you. You know, John, you're a stupid, ugly person. You're a poopy head and you're a terrible person and I hope you rot everywhere. All I'm going to say is my mom thinks I'm cool. My mom thinks I'm cool. That's all you got to say back to that person. First of all, when you say that to somebody, when they say something mean to you, if you come back and say, my mom thinks I'm cool, what are they going to say against that? Obviously, it's pretty common your mom thinks you're a cool person because everyone's mom loves them, hopefully. You know, maybe some people on this, they don't. But like, what do you say to that? No, your mom's wrong. No, my mom's right. My mom's pretty cool. My mom knows me better than you. So who am I going to believe? Nobody can ever like do anything against that argument. Every single hate comment I ever get, I always reply back, my mom thinks I'm cool. What do you think someone does when they say I'm stupid? I just say, my mom thinks I'm smart. Like, what are you going to say about that? Like, come on. Like, that's the best internet argument I've always had, and I always do it. So whenever somebody says that to you, just say, my mom thinks I'm cool. And honestly, do you believe your mom thinks you're cool? Yeah, I think my mom thinks I'm pretty cool. And so there's nothing nobody can say to me that's going to make me feel bad because my mom thinks I'm cool. And so just remember that. If someone says something mean to you, just say that back. They're going to be like, what do you mean? I'm like, say I say something dumb, you say something dumb, it's fine. So guys, let's eliminate the someone says something mean to me just off the bat. Okay, that's where a lot of people have that. And I just showed you how to eliminate that part. So let's get into the other issues we have because sometimes it doesn't help everyone. So first, we have to identify the issue of why we have a fear of cold calling. Number one, there's a fear of failure. I think a lot of wholesalers, they won't cold call because they have this fear of failure, the fear that they're going to call and not do well. It will happen. Let's just be straight up. If you have a fear that you're going to fail, it's going to happen. All right. I don't know one wholesaler that became rich and successful that everything was smooth sailing. Every call became a deal. It's not like that. Or they haven't made enough money. You think I love Kobe Bryant. Did Kobe Bryant make every single basketball shot he's ever made? Did he win every single game he's ever played? No. Did that stop him from being one of the greatest basketball players of all time? No. He knows he's going to lose some games. But the point is, you win more games than you lose. That's the point. Like, and if you do that enough, you're going to win championships, right? Duh, right? You don't have to sweep everybody in the finals to become successful, right? That's the point. It will happen. You will fail. But it's how you deal with those failures and having more wins than losses that ultimately will lead to your success. Number two, this is a big fear of not knowing what to say. I think a lot of wholesalers have this when it comes to cold calling. Just, I think it's a really stupid problem to have because you're watching this YouTube channel, you guys see me, I literally give you my free scripts. I give you my objections. I give you literally something you can download and read off of word for word on how to cold call. It's all my free wholesaling course, freewholesaling.com. That's it. Freewholesaling.com is a free wholesaling course. Literally, I do live cold calls in there. Like I literally have videos of me closing sellers live, not just FSBOs, other type of calls, other type of closings. Everything you want to know about cold calling is all in freewholesaling.com. I had to buy because YouTube didn't like me doing privacy. I violated their privacy policy with showing people's faces and live cold calls and stuff. I literally had to buy my own servers inside of freewholesaling.com. It cost me tens of thousands of dollars every single month to host, have editors, do the whole thing for it, to literally give you wholesaling content for free. Now, of course, I do a lot of JV deals and that's great from it, but you don't have to send me any deals. You just do it for free. It's fine. I don't really care. Okay. Freewholesaling.com. Okay. That's where it's all at. So your knowledge issue in wholesaling? No, everyone says I got to buy a $7,000 cold calling course. No, you don't need any of that. You guys, you go to freewholesaling.com, you see the top page, you scroll down, you see all those checks. Those are all people that learn for free. They have the free scripts and objections. That's it. Why should I convince, I can't even convince you it's my script. Why should you use my script? It's simple and it's the best one out there because it's simple. If I can train a VA from the Philippines who 6 months ago didn't know anything about talking to sellers to being one of my top producers, getting deals every single month, just from my script, my skip tracing and my calls, I put them on a dialer, I tell them what to say and it produces deals, you can do way better. A lot of my VAs from the Philippines, South America, they can go out here and get me wholesaling deals. I literally start them a week later, they can find deals. Why? Because they just focus on my simple script. There's no deviation. There's no crazy questions to ask. Somebody who has English as a second, third, or fourth language can get wholesaling deals like this because the script is so simple. You can roughly know English a little bit, but as long as you know how that works, you're fine, right? Like I could literally, if I translated my script to Spanish and let's say, you know, everyone speaks Spanish instantly, let's do a thing. I could figure it out, right? I know enough Spanish, see or no, right? Like, so I learn how to say the script in Spanish. Of course, I have an accent. And do I get a C? Or do I get a no? And that's how the script works. If I get a C, I say the line and then boom, I can bring it to the CRM. That's how it works. That the script is so foolproof of like not knowing what to do and that fear of, there's no excuse why you can't become a successful wholesaler from it. That's it. Number three, this is another big fear I see a lot of people have, but this is the fear of not sounding good. The fear of not sounding confident, the fear of all these things, right? Oh, Zach, oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know what to say. I feel like if I talk, I'm not going to sound good enough or I'm going to sound perfect. You're not going to sound perfect. You might not sound good. You ain't going to sound perfect, but it's worth doing it, guys. Nobody who ever did anything was instantly amazing the first time. No chess master was the best chess person in the world. No tennis player was automatically the greatest tennis player in the world starting out. None of those things, okay? That they had to start from the maybe objectively bottom-ish and work their way up. That is literally it. They just had to work their way up. That's all you do in wholesaling. You just go from here. You ring up the ladder every single day. That's it. You know, if y'all ever played, I played this game as a kid, Chutes and Ladders. I love Chutes and Ladders. I haven't played Chutes and Ladders in 12 years. But Chutes and Ladders is you just climb up the ladder. Sometimes you roll the dice, you go down the chute, and it's kind of sad, but you just climb your way up and eventually you win. You're never going to constantly keep going. You're going to get some bumps in the road, but eventually you're going to keep going up. And that's the point here. You're not going to sound good automatically off the bat. You're not, guys, if you've ever played basketball, your shot is never going to be perfect. I don't know one person that's trained in basketball that was worse playing basketball 5 years after than when they first started, right? There's people that are, you know, they're in their prime at 30 and they get worse at 40, but like you start from zero, you get there, right? I promise anybody watching this, if you ever start weightlifting, like you've never touched a weight in your life, if you went to the gym for an hour and you do like Arnold Schwarzenegger's routine and you eat enough protein, I promise you after a year of lifting weights and all you did is let's say bench press, I promise you your bench press will be a lot better. You'll lift more weights after a year than just by not doing it at all because your muscles are going to get bigger. Your wholesaling muscles are on your mind. The power of cold calling and the skills you have with cold calling It's not a muscle. It's not like a tangible muscle you can see. They're honestly neurons in the brain that you train yourself to get better at every single day. So it's not me being muscular that makes me a good cold caller. It's the skills I have in my mind, that the mind, the brain power that can go out here and do everything, right? And all you have to do to sound more confident, sound more perfect, to be good at cold calling is by just doing it more. That's it. You practice and become better. Alvin Iverson, practice. We're talking about practice. That's what I'm talking about, guys. You don't have to practice every single day, but you just have to do it better and better and better. I truly believe so many wholesalers, they want to be at this level, but they're not willing to do the work. I promise you that there is somebody out right now that is 16, 17, 18 years old that probably has a kid that is broke. They have a kid. They got to feed the kid. Are they willing to do more cold calling than you? Probably, because they need to feed the kid. They need to put a roof over their head. They're sick of living in their mama's basement. They're willing to do more to get out of their situation than you are. I promise you. There's wholesalers in my market that are, they were making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I have no one specific example. I don't like saying this example because it's really mean. And I think people look down on me for saying it, but it's just an honest truth. So I do have to say it. There was this one wholesaler in my local market. My first year in wholesaling, he made all of his money. And I would say 50% of his money from bandit signs. Okay. I think he made around 240K, if I could guess, in assignment fees. This was like a 40-year-old man. Okay. He had two daughters and a wife. Okay. And he lived like 10 minutes away from me. He used to put out bandit signs in my local market. He started taking my bandit signs out. Like, I put my bandit signs out. Like, this is after I got my first deal. He started sticking my bandit signs out. Like, he literally put them out, threw them away, and put his bandit signs in replace with it. Because he made 120 grand a year from bandit signs and the other 120 from, like, I don't know, direct mail or something stupid. What could I have done there? Should I just sat down and said, okay, I'm going to give up and I'm going to keep working my bag boy job? I don't know if I've ever said this story on this channel. I flip with Rick, like when I first started the channel, I say the story. I did a bandit sign war. I decided to get up at 5 a.m., take a signs out, put my signs back in. And I kept doing it every single day, until he decided to quit. And when he decided to quit, guess what? I got all the bandit sign deals. And that helped me get 100K my first year. And he had to sell his house and his income went really bad. And he decided to switch careers. And do I feel bad for a guy that had two kids and a wife and he decided to lose half his income because I was willing to work harder than him? Do I feel any remorse for that? No. I'm completely honest with you, okay? I wanted it more. I wanted to get rid of my bag boy job more than that guy wanted to double his income with his wife and kids. And I objectively think about this for a second. What sounds more like of a reason to work harder? Is it the wife and kids, or is it the band, or is it the bag boy job? Realistically, having kids should do it. But that guy already made 120K from direct mail. And so he wasn't a hungry lunch. I was starving working. I did not want to scrub dookie off toilets the rest of my life. So I decided to work harder than the guy. And to this day, that guy hates me to a passion. Fun story. I saw the guy at the gym, I think like a year ago, and he hates me so much. I don't want to get into any drama. That guy, I don't go to that gym anymore. But that guy does not like me at all. Okay. I just want to be completely honest with you. I'm gonna shut it up because I know the guy's probably watching me. He's trying to find my secrets. But eventually I graduated where I do JV. Most of my deals are JV deals with you guys because it's that I'm trying to get 1,000 deals this year and I don't have to work on that. And yeah, maybe he's putting bandit signs out anymore. Yeah, I don't really see him, but I've done a couple of bandit sign wars in my way. But like the moral of that story is who wanted it more? It's not of who had the better reason. It's who wanted it more and who was willing to get up at 5 a.m. every single day to take the guy's bandit signs out. I was. Okay. I did some very, I don't even want to talk about half the things I did. he didn't know who I was, but I knew who he was. And so I'll always say this. Okay. This doesn't make sense, but code enforcement did find the guy's name and address And let's just say he got a lot of fines and that's why he stopped bandit signs. That was another reason why. At 17, 18, not my proudest moments, but it made me an extra probably 60 grand that year. And it got me out of wholesale. It got me out of bad boy job. So like, I'm not scared of it, but like it's the things you're willing to do to get back to that point. And he knew that was all for me. That's why he quit it, because he knew this kid wasn't going to stop. So that being said, what are you willing to do? I'm not saying don't do what I did, but I'm saying I was willing to do whatever it took to become a successful wholesaler. I want you to know, like, that was my mindset. It was all or nothing. And I was willing to do anything. And so are you willing to put in the work and do it? That's it, right? And so confidence. How do you gain confidence as a beginner? Confidence, in my personal opinion, and I think everyone's can say, is a confidence is a belief in what you say. It's a belief in the words you say. And it's really, truly believing in what you say is truth or not truth. For example, if I go out here and talk to a motivated seller, I talk to that motivated seller that my name is Zach. I'm looking to buy your property for cash, me and my partner. Do you really believe the words he just said? If you do not believe the words you say, you're going to say ums, you're going to say buts, you're not going to sound confident doing it. Oh, I think that video played. All right. That was funny. All right. We had some autoplays on there. All right. But the truth is, it's the belief in what you say. That's what it is. So if I didn't believe what I said, I'm going to have a lot of ums and buts in that conversation. What does that mean? Hey, my name is Zach, and I'm looking to buy your house for cash, me and my partner. Versus, hey, my name is Zach. I'm looking to buy your property for cash, me and my partner. Are you looking to sell your house? What's the little cues? When I don't believe in what I'm saying, first verbal cues, I'm not looking at you straight in the eye. I'm not sounding more direct, right? Like, I'm looking at you straight. When I look up, it looks like I'm finding an excuse for him saying something. If you ever talk to sellers in person, you'll see that. A lot of it's hidden psychology, but it's just how confident you are. And so how do you do it? More experience you have, the more you're going to believe yourself. But if you truly believe you're in a partner who has cash, if you do reverse wholesaling, you have cash buyer right there ready to go, you should be fine, right? Confidence is a very important part. Confidence is something I can teach you, but honestly, you're just going to have to believe in what you say. Most people have to have experience to feel confident. You don't really need that. Got my first deal with no experience. I think everyone that got the first deal really have experience with it. You just got to go after it, right? One important part is you just got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I don't know what I have to say to you to make you stop feeling sorry for yourself, but you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. I would say not a big portion, but there's a portion of people watching this. They utterly feel sorry for themselves and their situation. Not that it's a bad situation they're in, but they cannot get over the fact that they're in this situation. And maybe life gave you a tough hand. I promise you, like, I think I got pretty lucky being born the family I am, being born the situation I have, having my health and family. I get a lot of people aren't in that situation. I completely understand that. But if you're going to let whatever situation you got dealt be the thing that's going to handicap you in your success, knowing that there's somebody right now who was born in a worse situation than you, probably has a lot worse issues going on in their life right now, that actually became successful. That's it, guys. If you compare your situation with mine, you're going to say, my situation's worse. I suck. I suck. I can never become successful like Zach because I wasn't born in a situation. For every person that does that, I can point to you to a wholesaler I have taught and that was born in a worse situation, born with a situation where they're a single mom of three or four that was literally in poverty, that got out of wholesaling and became successful. Like, you can compare yourself to me and feel sorry for yourself, but if you do that, come up to me and I'll compare you to another wholesaler that I got out of the trenches in wholesaling to become successful. That's it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. There's always somebody worse than you that actually got out of the situation they're in. That I promise everybody out here, right? I literally teach wholesalers who are making $5,000 a year in Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago, look it up. $5,000 a year was their salary, and they made $50,000 on a probate deal. Are you telling me that you're living a worse life than that person? Probably not. They used the power of the internet on a smartphone to get a deal, and then they got the title company to give them like this e-wire thing. It was crazy. $50,000. Trinidad and Tobago. So what's it? What are you feeling sorry for yourself because you're living in the greatest country ever with free internet basically at every library? Come on. I don't want to hear it from you. All right. Go out here and do what you have to do for your kids, your financial future, and everything becomes successful. In wholesaling real estate, there are five uncomfortable truths when it comes to cold calling. There are five uncomfortable truths you have to overcome to become a successful wholesaler. Write these truths down and say to yourself, is this a truth that is stopping me from starting cold calling? Right now, you should understand what they are and get them over. So what's the first uncomfortable truth? You will fail. Have you understand and have you accepted the fact that you will fail? Someone's going to say something mean to me. People are going to curse me out. People are going to say no. And that's okay because it'll lead to a deal eventually, but I will be failing at some aspect of something. Heck, even today, I failed at wholesaling, right? Our team makes offers, didn't get a deal. And we got other deals, obviously, but like I wasn't 100% batting on all the offers we made today in our company, and we never are because I make a lot of offers and I do a lot of deals. But in some aspect, of course, I'm going to quote fail. But that failure is going to be turned into a follow-up, and maybe 20% of those end up being deals. But like they're $30,000, $40,000 deals, not bad. But you will fail. Get over it. You will not get a deal instantly. Number two, can you accept the fact that you are not going to get a deal in the next day or two? Like, is that something that is a reality to you? A lot of wholesalers, they'll cold call a day, not get a deal, they'll quit. I know it sounds unrealistic, but it's true. You'll not get a deal instantly. You have to accept that. Number three, this is probably the worst uncomfortable truth for a lot of wholesalers, but like you will not have to work hard. Oh, that's the truth. They think I do not have to work hard and I'll become successful. No, you will have to work hard. Understand that. Think about that. Believe that. I will have to work hard to become successful. I know it sounds silly for a lot of people out here, but that's the truth. Every single type of business entrepreneurship you do to become rich and successful, they all pretty much have to work hard. That is it. I hate to tell you, even, you know, we can use Mark Zuckerberg as an example. Like he came up with an idea. Some people say he stole an idea, but he still had to work hard to create the company. Like there's more than one thing with it, right? And you can say whatever you want about it, but I'm just saying, like, you're going to have to work hard. If you're willing to do it, you'll do well. Number four, it's kind of a repeat, but you understand that again. People will be mean and rude. Does your mom think you're cool? Does your dad think you're cool? Does your dog think you're cool? Think about that. Heck, some people, maybe their mom doesn't like them. think about it. Does your dog think you're cool? My dog thinks I'm pretty dang awesome. I'll tell you that, all right? My dog thinks it's pretty cool when I walk in the door every morning, no matter what, or in the evening. This guy is a cool dude. That's what my dog says. So think about that. Does your dog think you're cool? Okay. So I don't really care what this guy has to say because my dog knows me pretty well. He thinks I'm a cool guy, and that's all that matters. Okay. Do not get caught up on what everyone thinks about you. Okay. If I care what people thought about me, I'd probably look a lot different. I just wear what I want and I do what I want because I want to get rich and I just want to live the life I want. Number five, you are doing everything in your power to become a better wholesaler. Now, this is an uncomfortable truth, but it sometimes is an uncomfortable truth. You have to believe in yourself that you are actually, by watching this video, putting into practice what I'm saying, actually cold calling, actually doing what I'm doing every single day. At the end of the day, whatever you did, put it on, put the hat on the coat, your cold calling hat, and say, hey, I actually did something that made a difference. It might seem small, it might seem insignificant, but it led me to becoming better and to the eventual goal I want to make for my life and my family and for everything. And if you can truly believe that and overcome the uncomfortable truths, you'll do well. That's it, guys. Simply stick to the script and you will get a deal by cold calling. The eliminate of the fear will be over. The last thing you have to understand is a simple question. Was Kobe ever afraid of making a game-winning NBA shot? I want all my basketball friends to think about this. Think about it. Was Kobe ever scared to make a basketball shot? Was he scared to put the ball in the hoop? Was he scared that I was going to miss? Of course. He did not want to go miss a shot and lose a game. Okay. He wasn't scared to do it because he knows if he throws that shot up, he's done everything in his power to this point to get the best chance of putting the shot in. That is it. And more times out of 10, he always put the shot in. Now there's some times it didn't go in, but do you think that crippled his fear of ever playing basketball ever again? No, he got better. He trained and he just did better. Kobe was never afraid. And Kobe lived a life of no fear when it came to his passion of basketball. And you shouldn't live that same thing too. So if Kobe's not afraid to get new gaming shots because he was willing to put in the action, the worth, the dedication, you should be doing it too. One thing on top of that, if you were saying, oh, I'm going to be like Kobe, you really want to be like Kobe. I want everyone to like, oh, I want to be like Kobe. I get that all the time. Kobe Bryant's on record. 6 days a week, he would spend 6 to 7 hours every single day practicing basketball. Dribbling, dribbling, dribbling. Shots, shots, fadeaways, layups, dunks. 7 hours a day, 6 days a week. Think about that. He was willing to do that to become Kobe Bryant. I don't know many basketball players that actually do that. I tell you, you could have the most God-gifted athleticism in the world. Kobe Bryant's going to be you because he has the athleticism and he worked hard. Same thing in wholesaling. Why am I so good at cold calling? Why do I have no fear of cold calling? I kind of did a Kobe Bryant method. I cold called 5 hours a day, 5 days a week for a year straight. That was just cold calling. Not on top of me going out here, cold calling cash buyers, going out here and closing deals, locking up contracts, doing more marketing. I did like 8-9 hours a day. 5 days a week for a year straight too. Like it just, duh. So I'm not afraid of cold call because I did the same hours as Kobe. So that why do you think I'm not afraid? Or I can say like, I did the Kobe Bryant method for wholesaling when it came to cold calling because I actually lived it, breathed it. And here's the cool part. You can't fake it. I can't fake me being good at cold calling because I go out here, I click the live stream button and actually cold call motivated sellers and I close deals. You can't fake LeBron James' skills. Anyone can say I'm next LeBron James. Well, get on the court and prove it. You probably can't. Same thing with me. I can go out here on cold call and you can show it. I could tell you I'm the next D Wade for basketball. And, you know, sometimes I feel like that for a second. And then I go play pick up basketball, get my butt whooped. And then I realize I did not put the same amount of work as D Wade. Now, I'm never going to lead the Heat to a championship like Jimmy Butler. But, Jimmy Butler doesn't give us a championship yet. But it's incoming. I can do the same thing with cold calling though, because I actually put in the time and effort into that. And guess what? If I sprain my ACL, I'm not out in wholesaling, right? There's no, I'm out for a year. No, it's the brain, right? As long as the brain's living, the brain's okay. I can use the skills when I'm 90 years old to get to wholesaling deals. I don't have to retire at 30. That's the cool difference between athletes and entrepreneurs. I don't have to quit. My body won't give out because it's not my body that's making money. It's my brain. And once you start learning that, you'll become a successful wholesaler. So if you're ready to go out here, become a successful wholesaler, start cold calling like a champion, go to my free wholesaling course, freewholesaling.com. It's my free wholesaling course. I'll tell you guys everything you know about wholesaling success. It's in freewholesaling.com, and that is it. So what I want to do right now, let me grab this. I'm going to go answer some questions y'all have and see how I can make you a better wholesaler. That's it. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm not going to pull this comment up because I think it's really stupid. I've had 4 or 5 DMs every single day asking if I'm going to join this Olympics. It's like real estate wholesaling Olympics. The answer is no. Okay. I'm not going to join no Olympics. That's kind of stupid. All right. Like why am I going to do that when every other person is just so bad at wholesaling? I can't give a platform to a broke wholesaling guru. And also on top of that, some person reached out to me to do their little Olympics thing. Like some guy had this wholesaling competition. They said, Zach, you should join it. And I'm like, okay, fine. What was it, like an hour? Like was it? No, you're going to have to do tryouts for 5 hours. And then you're going to have to do a second round for another 5 hours. And then you're going to do this for 3 hours. And then I'm like, what? You want me to spend 15 hours closing sellers for free for you? And then you're going to charge people to watch it? What? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I could probably make 40 YouTube videos and I can just cold call live. Oh yeah, you know, bro, it makes the world better play. Get out of here. I ain't doing anyone's guru competition. All right. I that's so stupid, guys. I don't commit my ego to anything else. When I close deals, I show you how to close deals. That is it. I go to freewholesaling.com. You want to learn. I'm not joining anyone's like coaching competition thing. Okay. I've gotten like 4 or 5 people asking me every single day. Go to this guy's thing. I'm like, I'm not going to spend 8 hours sitting down to go stroke my ego. All right. I'm going to go out here and actually just do cold selling deals. That's what I do. Okay. I ain't here to make myself feel better than anyone else. You want to go compete with me? Go out here and just do you do the same type of cold calling I do and do more deals than me on a live stream. Nobody ever clicks a live stream button and cold calls and closes more sellers than me. Nobody. So go do it and try it. It's so funny because like nobody. All right. It's literally like, you know, why would a top UFC fighter go fight an unranked opponent? It's like, it's so stupid. Like, I'm just going to waste my time and I ain't going to cut weight and do all that stuff. It's just so funny. But I just want to let everybody know, stop asking me if I'm going to do somebody's like little competition thing. It's not a competition. It's literally just like it's an event. And I don't speak at people's events. I don't do any paid events. I don't do anything. So I ain't going to do that. I always call it, I say it's wholesaling. It's a coaching course in disguise and I'm not willing to do that. So yeah. Ghost Man. What's up, Ghost Man? What's the best app to find the most accurate numbers for sellers? If you want to do most accurate, I'd do Batch Leads. If you want an app, I mean, TruePeopleSearch.com on your phone is probably the best one. That's probably what I'd say. The best cheap skip tracing, I would say, is ListRIA.com if you have it, but each person is different. So, I mean, it's whatever you want there. But yeah, ListRIA.com is probably going to be the cheapest one. That's accurate, but ultimately it's all up to you. Bep Tex says, Zach, what if the seller wants to talk to a partner that we talk to when we give an offer? What would you say? Yeah, they can talk to my cash buyer. I just got to let the cash buyer know it's up. But yeah, I'm not scared of it. If you act scared, then you're not going to sound confident. That's all we kind of talked about today, sounding confident. So funny. Fudge them kids. Hey, you know, I was willing to do whatever it took to become successful. I know for a fact that person still does not like me at all. And I don't even get in that story. That, you know what? That's for a different day. And I will say that a different day. I'm actually a little, I don't want to get sued for defamation from somebody. I mean, it's everything. Let's just say there was one altercation with that person inside of something that was recorded on camera where the person tried to physically attack me. I'm not going to mention names. The person actually tried to physically attack me. And I walked away. The guy was like 5'2", just by the way. I'm kind of tallish. It was kind of the funniest thing ever. I don't even get into it. But I actually have videos of that person who tried to literally physically assault me. Because I literally took away money from their wife and kids. But I'm not getting into that one. I can get in the whole guru drama all day. I've lived quite an interesting life on wholesaling I've never even mentioned on camera. And I think one day I'm going to have a tell-all confession about it. You know, if you talk to Rick, he'll probably spill the beans on it. That's all I'm going to say. But I've had my competition try to literally physically attack me because they actually saw my car once because I was beating them so bad to a bloody pulp in wholesaling. And I was 18 years old. I was a high schooler. So like that's how good I am at wholesaling. I have my competition literally trying to physically assault me. Funniest thing ever. I wish I could tell you it was a lie, but I swear it's true. It's so funny. I don't know many other wholesalers that have that story, but one day I'm going to have a sit down. I got to talk to a lawyer about it. I think I'm going to do a video. And so just FYI, everyone, I did a video where I had a real estate wholesaler who stole a $75,000 deal from me. And I actually had the recordings of the guy actually telling me to F off. He was a big wholesaler in my area. He told me to F off. I had the recordings of it. This is when I was 20 years old. So right when I started the YouTube channel. And then I had the call with the lawyers recorded on my call rail of the guy saying, I'm sorry, I messed with you. And please don't sue me. And the guy was begging me not to sue because I could have sued him for $100K with breach of title and everything. He clouded title and stuff. I was going to release a video on that when I was like 20. And then lawyer told me no. And so I just made a video about his name. I call him Donald Duck. That's the lawyer said I can call him Donald Duck. If you live in the Florida real estate wholesaling area and you know the top wholesalers, you can figure that out for yourself. People know who Donald Duck is. But he stole a $75,000 deal from me because he thought I was, quote, too young to be making that much money. And he offered like 10 grand under. And I actually had a lawyer involved because the guy clouded my title. And I got the title reversed. the cloud of the title reversed, and then I was going to countersuit the guy, but no, I was going to do a lot. No countersuit. I was going to sue the guy for like everything. His lawyer says you're going to lose everything because we use Rick's lawyer, and that was a fun deal. I've had my crazy stories. When you do a lot of deals, you end up having nutty things happen to you. And I think one day I'm going to do a tell all on it. Maybe when I'm 9 years old, I can do it. It's just some crazy things that happen to me, man. I've had this year over $100,000 stolen from me just in JV deals, just from people I JV with, right? And the person that sent us the deals decided to circumvent me and just go straight to the buyer. And I was like an iffy buyer. Over 100K this year of just stolen deals. But if you compare that to the millions of dollars I made from JVing, it's fine. But like, it's just water off a duck's back for me. And you just got to get to the point in wholesaling where it's like, it doesn't affect you anymore. And so I have this, if every single year I expect hundreds of thousands of dollars to be stolen from me, from people that send me JV deals, but overall it makes me money. I'm okay with it, right? It's all part of the journey. And, you know, same thing with cold calling. Of course, bad things are going to happen to you. When I started sellmypaper.com, I knew people were going to send me trashy deals. I knew people were going to try to screw me over. I knew all this stuff was going to happen, but I knew I was going to make more money from doing it than not. And so I just decided to do it. All the things, man. I started wholesaling well knowing whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but it drives me crazy. I don't know what's up with it, but it's always hilarious. So what I want to do is do some one-on-ones today. And what I'm going to do is, let's see here. There's no wholesaling else for it. It's all in the StreamYard link. Let me pop the StreamYard link on. What we got to do is do some StreamYard, and y'all can go out here and talk to me and go here. All right, here's my StreamYard link. If anyone goes hop on, talk to me, you can talk to me and answer some questions. We'll get it going. So first off, we got, is it Zeki? Zekai? What name should I say here?
Yeah, Zeki.
Zeki, what's up, man? How are you?
Yo, what's up, Zach? Dude, I'm so happy to be talking to you. I've been listening to, I found you on Spotify originally like a couple months ago.
Jeez.
And I've been listening to your podcast on Spotify. So I do real estate photography. I have my own business. I'm 19. And I'm working with a lot of like cash buyers, right? And I did a lot of shoots for cash buyers. And they use the photos I take to get, you know, an assessment of the property. And I work with a lot of wholesalers too who hire me to get photos to get a value of a property. So I was like, yo, I need to start wholesaling. Like, that's what I need to be doing. Because every single one of these guys that I talk to, they're like, you know, telling me about how much they're making off these things and whatever. So I've been listening to you and trying to learn as much as possible. For the last couple months, 3-4 months or so, I've just been grinding out your videos and everything. So I officially, I'm also studying in college. So right now I have like enough free time to actually get started, and I'm spending this month to try and like do basically your 30-day challenge that you had last month, but I'm just doing it on my own this month, right?
I like it.
Trying to get my first deal in next 30 days. So I just had a couple quick questions. I actually started like actually doing things yesterday. Yesterday I did about 4 hours of driving for dollars. I don't think I'm doing it good enough because I only got about 200 leads in 4 hours, which isn't that great.
That's pretty good, man.
Is it good? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But what's not good is today I did the calls, the cold calls. This is how many people answered.
7.
That's a bad amount, right? Seven out of
200?
Yeah. Actually, what's like today? That's how many hellos I got.
What's today? Right?
That was today, yeah.
What's today? Is today Tuesday? Sunday. Today Wednesday? Sunday. Today's what?
I'm thinking because it's what's a Sunday.
Today? Today's Sunday.
Yeah.
It's not a good cold calling day, man.
Really?
Monday through Friday, bro. You go to freehosting.com. Monday through Friday.
Okay. Maybe I'll try again. PM,
Monday through Friday, those are the best times to cold call.
I did the 2 to 7 p.m. thing.
5 to 7 p.m. is the best. You already knew that, dude.
I did know that, yeah.
You did know that.
I knew the 2 to 7 p.m. Friday. I even knew the 2 to 7 p.m. thing because I did it like I started around like 3 or 4 p.m. because I was thinking, okay, so it's probably because it's Sunday. I thought it wouldn't make that much of a difference, but clearly it did because
it's 200 does, people. Dude.
Okay. I had a couple more like quick questions. So with driving for dollars, I'm in like the Tampa Bay area, but I like
what are we talking?
I've been focusing on like both
Plant City, where
like
Tampa Bay,
like
are we
North
talking?
Tampa, North Tampa, like Temple okay. Terrace area, and also Lakeland.
Okay.
Cause I do shoots like all over like this area, and I know I go to all the like shithole properties, and I know all the like bad like locations that are good for wholesaling. You know?
Okay. So I mean, you're throwing a lot here. Polk County ain't St. Petersburg, so like yeah. these are completely different areas we're talking.
Should
if
I
you're talking about yeah. Lakeland, bro, yeah. I can go to West Lakeland and get 100 drawing for dollars leads in like 5 minutes. Like duh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you got to find where in Lakeland there's actually good deals. There's yeah. specific parts in Lakeland that have low crime rates that are really low prices that are great. Plant mm-hmm. City has those, right? Strawberry Crest area. Like that area is fine. You just got to get the right places. And so okay. one thing I can tell you is you got to get the right places for your drawing for dollars. If you're in the hood, you're going to get okay deals because the crime rate's too high. You want to get low crime rates in cheap areas. Okay. And so that I think that's one thing. I don't know if you heard me say that before, but that's going to be a really big mm-hmm. key for you doing deals. On top of that, number two, everyone watching this is going to know, did you do reverse trying for dollars? Did you put sticky notes out?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't have like a list to follow. I just wanted to start off with driving what? For dollars.
You don't need a list.
For reverse driving for dollars, don't you need like addresses? Like isn't reverse driving for dollars the whole point? Like you
there's
go
two
to
ways to drive
properties.
For reverse drive for dollars. You get addresses okay. and then you do that. Or you just drive, you find an ugly house, you slap sticky on an ugly house.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Zeke. I had a quick question about your property. Please give me a call back, Google Voice number.
Yeah.
And guess what? You don't have to sit on your butt and cold call all day. You don't have to go spend money on skip tracing. It's actually a lot easier.
Yeah.
So tell okay. everyone, put your favorite Taylor Swift song on and just drive around town and you don't have to yeah. cold call any day. So the people yeah. that watch this video that are scared of cold call, go out here, listen to your favorite music, and just reverse drive for dollars. You don't have to make one cold call. Deals come into mm-hmm. you. And so, versus people scared of cold call, you can just reverse drive for dollars. It's fine all day. And guess what? Those people are going to take your sticky note. They're not going to call you Sunday. They're going to call you Monday. And boom, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Reverse drawing for dollars is key. It's way easier than drawing for dollars, man.
And would I target like, so with that though, you're not targeting like vacant property. You're targeting properties that people live in that you
just can do vacant houses too. Here's the cool part about a vacant house. Once or twice a year, the owner goes by the vacant house. You're going to see mm-hmm. that sticking out.
Okay. Okay.
That's it, man.
Because this is what happened. The people who did answer my phone, every single one of them were like, oh, I get a million calls a day. Two of them were like, oh, are you going to ask me if I want to sell my house? Like they have gotten so many calls, apparently. Every single one of them knew what I was up to. So it's like, I think the area isn't the right area that I'm targeting, but.
I mean, I get that all the time, man. But I mean, really? I think you should reverse drive for dollars.
Okay.
I think that's a really important one to have.
I have sticky notes in my car. I bought the sticky notes. I just didn't do
you
it.
You have the sticky notes, dude.
Dude.
You're only stopping it yourself, man.
The way I thought of it was like vacant properties. Like who's going to see the sticky note?
The person that goes by once or twice a year.
Every single one of these properties also has like a freaking no trespassing sign on it. Like they don't want anybody walking up and doing whatever.
Okay, fine. There's a no trespassing sign. You know what my secret is? I do the car. I open up the windshield wipers and I put the sign underneath it and I don't knock on the guy's house. When he goes in his car, he's going to see sticking out there. And I didn't do no trespassing.
You said that in one of your videos too.
You're in Florida, dude. How many people have fences and nice gates? If there's a nice fence guarding the house, see the hood, or it's a really nice house. It's not an area. And most people in Florida, it's a random street. You walk up to the door, you're good.
Yeah.
And you're legally walking up to a sidewalk, you're all fine. If that was a problem, all the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and people would all be arrested. They don't get arrested. True. It's legal. Yeah. Man.
Okay. 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 So I'll do reverse driving for dollars. I'll slap
reverse drive for dollars, man. All right.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Let's see. Arrest records confuse me. Okay. So this is what I don't get, right? They got arrested, right? I'm supposed to call them because if they go to prison, they're going to want to sell their house so that their house isn't just sitting there. But if they got arrested, aren't they in jail so they can't answer their phone?
No. So if you've been around the prison system and dealing with people like that and understanding the process, most people just do bail. They're all out on bail pretty much. You got to remember, most people that get arrested I know on the news, everyone gets arrested for like attacking 15 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Florida, right? You're riding an alligator. You go attack people with alligator. It don't work like that. Okay. It's not that. Most people get arrested for like petty crimes, stealing, going out here. DUIs are a really big, most wholesaling dealers are actually DUIs.
DUIs.
Yeah. DUIs aren't like menaces to society. Like they do very terrible things unacceptable things, unapologetic things, but they're not people that like, I'm scared at night knowing someone's going to, a DUI is going to go attack me at my home. Armed robbery, aggravated assault, other unspeakable things. Those are like, everyone thinks that's 90% of crime is not that. Most crime is like stupid, public intoxication, like stupid stuff, right? Most crimes, those things that like, you don't really go to prison for, but like you do some little bit of time for it. That's pretty much it. You know, wire fraud stuff. Like, it's not, most crime isn't the scary stuff you see on like 2020. All right. I just want everyone to understand that. I'm not telling you to go talk to people on death row. Like that's not going to be it, right? Regular, you know, there's crimes out here and there's still people too, and just stuff like that. One thing that's very common is like drug possession. You know, it's a little weird sometimes with it, and you know, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but like those are human beings too that still are wholesaling deals. And me, I've made enough money doing it where like I'm okay with it, right? Now, if somebody violently assaulted women and stuff, I'd probably not want to go near their house, and it's probably not something I'm gonna will. I'll virtually do it, but I'm not gonna like, you know. I make educated guesses and stuff, right? I had one deal I made 50 grand on. The guy was a probate and the son was the person I was doing with a probate on. Scariest deal to this date. He went to jail for distributing weapons and distributing drugs and weapons, and his friends kept going by the house. And that was the scariest deal I ever wholesaled in my life. I didn't want to get started on that one, but I got that one wholesaled. I basically did it virtually because I was so scared of the guy. I just, you know, I didn't want to deal with the dude. I think I legit thought he had drugs and weapons in the house. And so I just wholesaled it. And like stuff like that, is it worth the 50 grand? It probably wasn't, but there's still money in it. So virtual wholesale, the ones that are scary, but man, no one talks to those type of people. Like they treat them like garbage, and you know, do a crime, you're convicted. It's probably not a good thing, but they're still wholesalable houses. You still make money on it.
So this is the part that I'm a little confused on. If they're out on bail, wouldn't most people who are out on bail, like at least with not crazy crimes, assume that they're not going to go to prison, so they won't want to sell their house?
If you blow 0.9 or like 1.4 in a DUI and you crash into somebody's car, you're going to prison.
So should I like focus on DUIs mostly with that arrest records list?
All of them, man. Petty theft, stuff like I just like anything. I do like, you know, there's just ones on YouTube. I can't really say the keyword, but you kind of know, like, no, right? But outside of that, I think you're fine. Like very violent, scary crimes, probably no. Ask yourself, are you 100% scared to go to that person's house? If you are,
I'm not scared of anything. Fuck it.
I know you're not scared of somebody, but if somebody, you know, try to attack three people with a weapon, you probably don't go to their house. Yeah. Okay. Just understand that. And so like I'm not scared, but I'm not dumb. And so you do that, you'll be fine. You can virtually wholesale anyone though, right?
Yeah, that's true. And then one last thing, like should I look up their house and like try and like assess it before calling them? No.
Because here's the problem with you do that. If I had 1,000 leads and each lead, let's say for example, took me, let's do 5 minutes. I had 1,000 leads. And each lead to assess would take me 5 minutes. That's 5,000 minutes divided by 60. That's 83 hours of analyzing that I have to do. Now, if I do 1,000 calls, let's say 20% of them answer. And then let's say 25% of those say they want to sell their property. How many is that? That's 50 yeses out of 1,000. That's pretty good. 50 times 5 minutes is 250 minutes, which would be, I would spend 4 hours on people that want to sell the property versus spending 83 hours. So it's better to get a yes than analyze than the other way around. It saves you 85 hours.
Yeah.
This could be used to cold call more.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think I'm also going to start putting up bandit signs. Is it a good idea. I mean, you talk about it, so I
guess. Yeah, I love bandit signs. If they work, they work. Though you got to test them all out.
Where should I buy them? Do you know? Do you have any idea? I know Home Depot sells
right on them. I'm not going to give legal advice on them, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, you could figure it out.
Yeah. Cool. That's about it. Thank you so much, Zach. It was a pleasure being on this call.
I need 100 sticky notes for you. Call me again. All right.
Yes, I will. I will. I swear to God, I will. Tomorrow, I will.
Get it going, man.
Yep.
Perfect. Awesome. Love it. Next year, we got Evan. What is up, bro?
What's up, Zach? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You got two deals.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with those?
So the one deal, the one in Sharon that I told you about, the one I accidentally started sending you the information on when you asked about the other one, that's going good. I have it under contract. I've been, I put out bandit signs today that I talked to your dad about, and I texted you about. You responded to me. So I put those out today. I had two calls on those today. Two people were looking to owner finance or owner financed or whatever. And so I told them that's not an option. So I also had a guy reach out to me from a Facebook post that I put out in a Facebook market group. A Facebook real estate group. And he got back to me and he sent me like everything that, you know, you would have to like vet him. So he sent me his proof of funds, his email, his phone number. He was interested in the property. So I sent him over the details. He's getting back to me tomorrow about it. I also just had another cash buyer get back to me that I had contacted before, but she took like forever to get back to me now. She just asked me literally 5 minutes ago, she just emailed me and asked me she's like, I'm familiar with the property. What's the asking price? She told me that she'd pay cash for properties before if I brought them to her. So, you know, so that's where we're at with that property. The other property, I'm still waiting on that guy to have the contract sent back from his lawyer. Like, remember I told you he's evaluating the contract to see if it's legal. So, you know,
it's
what
not
I mean?
That if it's legal, if his lawyer likes it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I know it's legal, but just to see how his lawyer feels about it. So I'm going to,
if I wrote something on a napkin and I was able to get it notarized, most lawyers in Pennsylvania will accept it. So it's not about legal.
Yeah. So they're just going through their lawyer to see, you know, how he feels about it. So I'm going to be a little upbeat with them once they get back to me Monday and Tuesday about it. Be like, look, this is all legit. It's just simplified and easy. So it doesn't have to be like 18 pages long. You know what I mean? So I still got to send you the tax assessed value on that. I forgot to do that. I didn't look it up. I went.
Yeah,
to
that whole website wasn't working when I clicked on it. So I'm like, just figure out the info. Yeah, get back to me.
That's why.
Screenshot it too.
That's why. So the Mercer County parcel website is so difficult. Like when I watch,
I tried. I'm like, this thing's weird, man.
Isn't it?
I like it though. I mean, the harder to get the data, the better for you.
Yeah. So I was like watching your live streams on going through like the county assessor, like the county's assessment property, like property assessment, you know, and I'm like going through watching your videos. I'm like, that one's so simple. I'm looking through mine. I'm like, I can't find anything. I'm like, so I'm going to call them tomorrow.
Honestly,
I'm
that's probably why you're actually getting a lot of deals though. Yeah. You don't have a lot of competition where you're at.
Dude, out of 9 bandit sign calls, I haven't even gotten the other people like want to sell, but I don't know if they're like legit deals because I haven't got to run the numbers completely yet. I've been trying to get back to them. But these two deals, I'm like really prioritizing the marketing on. So it's not like I can't multitask and do the other ones, but I'm like focusing on these ones because they're the ones under contract right now. But I have out of 9 bandit sign calls, because I market how many signs I get from the calls I get from the bandit sign calls. That's 2 deals so far out of just those bandit signs.
Yeah, I'm going to shut up about your market. You're good where you're at, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to publicly give out your market, though. It's just working, man. All right.
Yeah. Dude, the county went like the code enforcement people or whoever went around and took all my bandit signs out of every single place I put them. So I just keep going out there and putting them back there. It's kind of funny.
That's it, man.
But yeah, everything's going pretty good.
You just got to make sure the buyers are set for you. Like it's easily finding the deals for you. We just got to make sure we get the buyer set.
Yeah, I'm trying to market out to more buyers and get a deeper portfolio of vetted cash buyers. But as far as that other property goes, I didn't know if you had too much time to look at it. But once I get the tax assessed value, I'm going to call and get that tomorrow. And then I'll
send me. I'll look it up tonight.
What's it?
Give me the info. I'll look at it tonight.
Yeah, I sent it to you already. It's the one you asked me about the tax assessed value.
Yeah, I'll check it out later.
Yeah, I already sent all the info's there. I said it's the 3-bed, 1-bath, 1960 square foot. And I sent you the Google Drive because I put all the pictures into Google Drive to be more organized as if I were to market it to a cash buyer. You know, so I format my emails and everything super organized. And like being
all right. Well, I'll look at it later.
All right, boss. I appreciate it. And then later.
All right. Perfect. Boom. Awesome. All right, next here we got Aaron.
Hey, Zach, I don't got nothing right now. I'm at work, but just whenever you get done with that schedule, let me know.
All right. Good look at it, man. Make sure you translate that one for me. It was in like a weird language. A, B, C, D, E, F, L.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just showing, you know, the shifts on each day and if they're working days or nights. So, you know, I was on C shift, so like nights, days off, you know.
All right. Well, let me know what days those 12-hour things are. Just give me a breakdown. I'll go check it out later. All right.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Boom. Next year we got David. What's up, man?
Hello. So I'm 17. All right. I'm kind of young getting into this. And my biggest concern as like, you know, a minor was like signing contracts. That's what my biggest concern. Like, nothing else. Calling, like my fear of cold calling, it barely exists. Like I was cold calling before. Like looking at code violations where I live, and I wasn't, you know, I got rejected plenty of times. I kept calling. Only problem is I got put into like a state of fear because I'm like, what happens once I, like, you know, once I send this document over DocuSign, or, you know, print it out and like get the seller to sign it, right? I was just scared, like, what do I do next?
Okay. And
what I was thinking is, if I could get put under my brother's LLC as like a registered agent, could I sign contracts using my brother's LLC?
You don't have to do that. I don't know if you can even be registered. What state?
Florida.
All right, cool. We're in Florida.
Yeah.
Where?
I live in Broward. Like I live like in Hollywood.
All right, cool. So, I mean, all the state of Florida, I think you have to be 18 to be a registered agent. So, I mean, a place has to pay like $60 to change it. Just have him sign the contract. That's it.
Okay.
And if he's a nice guy, which he's your brother, I hope he's a nice guy.
Yeah, we're close. We're close.
You'll get a check in that LLC, let's say for $15,000. All right. He will give you $12,000. He'll pay the $3,000 in taxes because he's a G. He's a cool guy. And maybe you go, I don't know, you buy a Dolphins game for him or something, you know, something nice. And you reward him for that, you know, when you're 18. I don't know. Just something, you know, like, you know, give him some gas money, whatever, right? That's all you got to do, man. Dude, 17, Florida, first deal, $20,000. Same thing. You just got to do it the right way. So I kind of do it with my dad's LLC type thing, like you, the brother, dad, same situation. The only thing you got to do is trust. I knew my dad's not going to screw me out of $20,000. I don't think your brother will screw you out of $20,000. But if he does, he does. Unfortunately, true. Because you're 17, you have to take that risk. That's why family members are the most important people you can use when you're that young. Outside of that, it's all mental, man. It's all mental. I mean, what, Joan of the Arc was 16 when she led the Rose War in France? Like, 16. Like, it just, age ain't nothing, dude.
Another thing that I had, like, concerns about was where I live, Hollywood. First off, the population is massive here. It's way above, like, right? There's... I think it's getting close to 200,000 people here in this one city alone.
I was driving in 595 the other day. I know.
And then
it's stupid.
The average home price is literally on the rise towards like 450. So it's like, so I followed like, you know, your best markets video.
Sunrise, Deerfield Beach, mm-hmm. parts of Margate. What do they call it? Tarmac.
Yeah, I know.
They're cheaper areas. They're not the hood, though. I'll tell you one place to avoid, though. People, like, everyone tries to wholesale in Lauderhill. Do not do Lauderhill, man. Cash buyers don't want to buy there.
Yeah, I was just about to say that because it's, like, it's honestly, in my opinion, it's too ghetto for an investor to want to, like, buy and, like, fix
up. I'm not saying anything bad about Lauderhill, but, like, there's areas cash buyers want and don't. Like, Sunrise, let's use that for example. It's kind of inland, kind of by the Everglades. Got the Panthers playing there. It's not the hood. But they're cheap, and buyers love that area, right?
I feel like the reason
Miramar, that's a good area too.
There's a lot of room for improvement in these cities. Yeah. So, you know, they want, because it's not like, oh, it's just straight shitty houses. It's more like there's good houses here, and there's like regular houses there, and so they can fix those up into good houses and make a good enough profit.
Well, David, you know the secret. It's low crime, cheap houses.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
those areas I just said, they're all good. Lauderhill, for example, has very high crime, but they have cheap houses.
Right there is crazy.
Miramar is not like the lowest crime area, but it's not terrible. And the prices are actually pretty decent. So that's the way I look, man.
Really what I was thinking, I was like, maybe I should try, you know, virtual wholesaling. And so I watched your market video and I went to Pensacola and I was like trying to call FSBOs, you know, just to get my practice and just to look around to like try to find comps and use Zillow and stuff. And so I was trying to call FSBOs in Pensacola and try to get like a deal because, you know, calculate the ARV times 70% or whatever. And then you subtract the repair costs and anything under that is your fee, your assignment fee. And just like, you know, that's how I was comping. And I'm going to assume that's correct, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad. Pensacola's not a bad area, man. I would do a 50-50 approach if I were you. Okay. Some people can make Fort Lauderdale Broward work. Some people can't. The problem is South Palm Beach kind of sucks because you're in Boynton, Boca. Not the best, man, because Boca's too bougie. Boynton's kind of a little too much in the hood. Now you got West Boynton that's different. I mean, the best wholesaling deal near you, like you might be by Green Acres, West Palm, but that's way too north for you. And then Miami's kind of too weird. You're in a weird spot. Broward's okay-ish. I would do 50-50.
All right.
That's the best one I can tell you, man. I mean, just it's not the best area, but it's not the worst.
Well, that's really all I had questions about, you know.
Yeah.
I just need that peace of mind to, like, you know, I guess be able to focus up and not really have, like, the worries about that type of stuff. Because those are my biggest worries. Like, should I go virtual? Should I not? Because I know Hollywood, for me, is not really, like, a good market to start like wholesaling in. So, you know, I was going to go virtual. I watched your market video. I looked at Pensacola. Pensacola, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement. And there's like, I was looking on like Zillow to see like, you know, the sold renovated houses and they're going for like, you know, 220 to like 260 right now. Yeah. And I'm seeing some on Zillow for like 140 checking the pictures on. I could probably negotiate down like 20,000 and I'd probably be able to make an assignment fee of like 10K. And it's like, I'm looking, but you know, and so I appreciate you like you give me this peace of mind. Also tell me to trust my brother. Like I trust him a lot. Like, he wouldn't do it. Like I know for sure he wouldn't screw me out of like money. Because he knows that if I can make 20K by myself, imagine what the future holds. It's because it's 20K now is not gonna be 60,000 later, you know?
The only reason I say is because I've seen family members do way worse, man. Not my family, but I've seen family members in parts of wholesaling that have screwed people over so many times. So that's what I always say, you know, everyone's got different family situations, stuff like that. But yeah, I'll do 50-50 and see what happens, man. There's not many markets I'd say, I'd probably go somewhere else, but I would probably do 50-50. Pensacola ain't a bad market, but you're just gonna have to get very good at finding the top areas in Pensacola. I would say 60% of Pensacola is unwholesalable. And you got to focus on the 60% that the buyers want to buy in. Buyers are the easiest ones there though. So you're good to go.
All right, thank you, man. I appreciate
you keep taking it up,
me
man.
On here and showing me like the ropes and helping me like clear my mind. I appreciate that.
Of course, and you don't have to do Pensacola. Another reason why Pensacola works, it's cheap, low crime. And do you know my super secret virtual wholesaling marketing tip that no guru ever knows that I always do and I just gave everyone for free? What's the extra little special part of every good virtual wholesaling market pretty much? There's a military base. It's the biggest secret. Now, Tampa has a military base. Does that make it good? No. But Pensacola's got a big one. Really good. Columbus, Georgia, Fayetteville, Hampton Roads. If you're looking at other virtual wholesaling markets, see if there's like a cheap housing, nice population with a military base there. Military bases are nobody in wholesaling has ever talked about outside of me. It's an amazing area, dude. So that's another area you could look at.
But right? What value does the military base provide? Like
it provides economic stability and economic turnover. So in the military, people are in and out all the time, which means they sell houses, want to buy houses. People need to eat in the military. It's just an economy. And the cool part about the military, I don't care what politics anyone is, but if the economy crashes 50%, we're still buying aircraft carriers. We're still doing all this. And the military, the economy in that city still goes up. So when markets crash, the strongest wholesaling markets are always going to be the ones that have military bases in it, because the military there's a little bit of cutbacks, but nothing as crazy as, like, let's do Cape Coral, for example. Cape Coral went down 50-60% in the last crash. Pensacola didn't do that. They had a decent economy going, and people in the military rent, That's it, man.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Keep it up. Have a good one, man. Perfect. All right. Awesome. David, I believe in you. I believe anybody out here watching this, that they can become a successful wholesaler. The truth is most wholesalers, they want to do it, but they don't know how to do it. Go to fuelsing.com, guys. Little tidbits like that where I teach you special tactics to go in and out of wholesaling markets and do well. I always have them. They're always in fuelsing.com. I swear, if you went through fuelsing.com, you hear that little thing about military bases, but no one else in wholesaling. Everyone's talking about it. So I give a fuelsing course. Guys, if you got any value from this video, go out here and smash it like button, subscribe, and I'll see you guys soon. Rickon has his YouTube live stream tomorrow, okay, at 5 p.m. Eastern. So go to the Rickon YouTube channel. He does his live stream, so it's only going to be him, and that'd be pretty cool. And yeah, regular live stream schedule all set out. So guys, go to fuelsing.com, hit that like button, subscribe, and I'll see you soon. Have a blessed one, guys. Boom. See ya.